years ago, the Federal Communications Commission moved internet regulation under Title II of the Communications Act. That designation regards the internet as a utility and makes it subject to a more heavy-handed regulation than the previous Title I status for information services. Earlier this year, the FCC approved a proposal that could roll back regulation to Title I. The move spawned a protest scheduled for tomorrow. Huge websites, including Google and Facebook, have said they'll participate in the Day of Action for Net Neutrality. And while you may know those two big players, there are others who are also participating, along with thousands of other websites, to challenge the FCC's proposal. And that may be a little bit more confusing. Media Council Hawaii President Chris Conybear joins us now by phone to demystify some of this. Hi, Chris.
Hi, Beth Ann. Thank you for having me on.
Thanks for taking the time. So in watching what happened just, you know, 3-4 years ago when this began to gain a lot of steam to move it from Title I to Title II, there were some big battles, particularly in 2014 and 2015. Is this setting us up for that same kind of battle again?
Well, actually, a little background. The FCC tried to have open internet rules under Title I, and they were sued by, among others, Verizon, who said, you can't do that. We internet service providers are in charge, and you're not. And the court said the only way you can actually maintain an open internet under FCC rules is through Title II. And at that point, with some other things happening, millions of people, 4 or 5 million people, registered their desire to see Title II open internet regulations. And the FCC went along with that. And in 2015, since 2015, those rules have applied. Tomorrow, we hope that there will be more millions, maybe 10 million, will register what they think about saving free speech and saving an open internet. And hopefully somebody will listen.
When people hear those words, save free speech, save the internet, what exactly would be the difference for a lot of people who aren't terribly familiar with this and think, well, what difference would it make?
Okay, well, one difference, for instance, I was listening to your show just now before you introduced me, and for technical reasons, it cut out. However, if this were under Title I regulation, the internet service provider wouldn't have to use technical reasons. They could just say, we don't really like public radio. We don't like their editorial perspective, and basically shunt you off to some slow lane or even censor you completely and not put you on the air. So what's at stake is the ability for people to get information. And let's face it, broadband and the internet are the way we communicate today. Almost everything, even that we read, see, hear, almost all of it comes to us through the internet, either to our phones, to our computers, to our tablets, or whatever. So this is really huge. If we're going to put the fate of billions of people who use the internet in the hands of just a handful of companies, we're heading for serious problems.
You're making the point that this is more than just information, but you're talking about the gatekeeper who allows that information to pass, the size of the gatekeeper, and also which information may go through.
That's right. Will we end up with only entertainment programs that are, say, produced by Comcast, which is a vertically integrated company, all the way from production through up to whatever. I'm sorry. And then what will happen to the little guy? What will happen to the entrepreneur out there that really wants to provide a new service, some kind of service that hasn't been thought of, but really isn't owned by one of these big companies? They might not have access. They might not have a chance to do what they need to do. And at the same time, those of us that are interested in news, public opinion, and knowing what's going on in the world, we might be blocked from sources we think provide that information.
Do you draw any comfort from the fact that you have large entertainment companies like Amazon, like Netflix, and others who are also joining the protest?
Well, I think it's great that everybody can join the protest and that those big companies are joining the protest. Absolutely, we need everyone to weigh in on this.
For people who are just beginning to get their minds around some of this, where exactly is this proposal now?
Well,
in what stage
right
of the
now,
journey?
Right now, the FCC is in a period of open community input. And they've already indicated through their chair, Mr. Pai, that they want to change the rules back to the Title I regime. However, there is a period for public comment, which is going on now. The problem is twofold. One, we have to deal with the FCC and Mr. Pai's proposal. Two, Congress is also in play here, and we've already seen the Senate and the House roll back the privacy rules that the FCC had introduced so that people that are providing you information on the Internet can share your personal information when before they couldn't. So there's a major need for as many people, as many companies as possible to weigh in on this and say, look, the Internet is for all of us. The Internet needs to be open. We need you to have a level playing field. That's all we're talking about, the level playing field. You used heavy-handed regulation. I don't think that's true. We're talking about regulation that provides equality, not regulation that that only benefits a handful.
Well, heavy as opposed to sort of the light touch, which says that you can do as you would like to because you're just looked at as being information services and not necessarily a gatekeeper, which bears maybe a much more heavy responsibility. But looking at the public comment period and what is trying to be fomented in this movement that will be happening tomorrow with the Day of Action for Net Neutrality, is there a sense that this could be another 2014, 2015, and that this battle, in fact, is going to reshape how we again begin to talk about these issues of privacy and access?
Well, certainly tomorrow will be a big day in terms of, I think, opening people's eyes, in terms of having them weigh in, and hopefully that kind of pressure will result in the same thing that it did the last time, which means maintaining the open Internet that we really need and want to have.
And Chris, what about the composition of the FCC this time around? It looks a little different than we saw a few years ago.
Well, actually, the way the FCC works is that the party in power, the president, gets to pick the majority of FCC members. There are five places in the FCC, so the Trump administration would get to pick three and from his party and then two from the other party. Right now, only three of those slots are filled. Two of them by Republicans, that is the chair, and another one by the name of Mr. O'Reilly, and then the third one is Ms. Clyburn, who is a Democrat. So she's outvoted 2-1 if those two decide to follow the chair's lead on this, or if the chair might be compelled to back down in the face of this overwhelming opposition. That's what we're hoping.
And what about those other two seats? Why haven't they been filled?
And just as with many vacancies under the current administration, there's not being a move to fill it. Right now, they seem to be happy with having a 2-1 majority. We don't know what will happen next.
But that seems to be part of the argument that many are using in the Day of Action tomorrow, is that simply you're short, not half the people, but a good two-fifths of them
actually,
who might be able to look
one
at
one of
it.
The seats, both of those seats, when they're filled, one will be a Democrat and one will be a Republican. So we'll also get to weigh in at their confirmation hearings at the Senate in terms of who the choices are. But as we know, that the U.S. Senate right now is dominated by the Republican Party. Hopefully, 4 or 5 million, maybe 10 million people's voices will be heard. We need to stand up. We need to say, we want free speech, we want an open Internet, and we don't want a handful of companies to control what's going on.
Thanks very much, Chris Conybeare. Good to talk to you.
Well, thank you, Beth Ann. It was a pleasure.
Chris Conybeare is a television journalist and documentary producer with more than 30 years of production and broadcast experience. He is also the president of Media Council Hawaii and works closely with international press freedom organizations. Tomorrow is the Day of Action for Net Neutrality. Thank you.